Just want to read one episode, and it could well be I've preached from this before here, because it's my favourite incident in the Gospels. So it's Mark chapter 10. It just came upon me yesterday that this is what I should preach from. So I hope it's from the Lord. Mark 10 and verse 46. That's page 1207, by the way, if you've got a Bible like mine. Mark 10 and verse 46. And they come to Jericho. And as he was going out from Jericho, and his disciples and a large crowd, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus the blind man, sat by the wayside begging. And having heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and to say, O son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him that he might be silent, but he cried so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing still, desired him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good courage, and rise up, he calls thee. And throwing away his garment, he started up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering says to him, What wilt thou that I shall do to thee? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Go, thy faith has healed thee. And he saw immediately and followed him in the way. As I said, this is one of my favourite incidents because it actually happened. There's many things in the Bible that are parables which teach us things. But this is something that actually happened with Jesus here on this earth. But more than that, it's got everything about the gospel in this story. It starts with a blind man who was begging. So he had two issues, didn't he? He was blind, obviously, and he was in need. And that pretty much describes you and I as without Christ. Blind to what God is, blind to what Jesus is, and in great need. You may think that you're not a needy person. Is there anyone in this hall tonight that doesn't have a need? I assume then that everyone has a need. You might need many things. But the greatest thing that you need is to have your sins forgiven. To have peace with God. To know that you have eternal life. And the sad thing, dear friend, is that most people in the world don't know that. They don't even know they have that need. And yet it's God's desire that you might come to know that you have a need. And the wonderful thing in the gospel is that what God does in his word, in the Bible, he shows us our need, and then he gives us the remedy, doesn't he? A lot of things in this world, they give the problem, but they don't give the answer. But in the gospel, dear friend, you're presented with your problem, and you're presented with the answer. And the answer is Jesus, quite simply. So here we have this man. He's blind. He can't see. And he's in great need. I'm sure he got little bits and pieces thrown at him every day. Maybe just to keep him going through the day. And you know, that's like us. Without God, without Christ, we maybe just get enough to keep us going for the day. But we've got no future, no hope. This man had no hope. Dear friend, do you have any hope? You won't have any hope unless you find Jesus as your personal saviour. Unless you know him. So, but one advantage this man did have. Do you know what it was? He'd heard about Jesus. And you have a great advantage tonight in the glad tidings. You have heard about him. It's no accident that you're here tonight, dear friend. This man had heard about Jesus. And he heard that he was coming his way. Tonight, dear friend, Jesus is coming through Sandham Hall tonight. He's coming your way. The question is, Are you full of pride? Do you say, I don't need anything? Or will you decide to call out to him? It says, and having heard that it was Jesus. Tonight, dear friends, if you have any idea of your need, have you heard it was Jesus passing by? Have you heard? Is he just a good man? Is he just a figure in history? Maybe a figure that they make films about? What does Jesus mean to you? This man, Bartimaeus, knew he had a problem, and he knew where the answer lay. It lay in Jesus. And just as it was, Jesus was passing by that very day. So what did he do? He cried out. And you know, that's the best thing you can do, dear friends. If you have a need, is to cry out. Because you know, God will never shut his ear to a cry. The Lord Jesus Christ will never be deaf to a cry from you and me. So he says, he began to cry and say, O Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know, we deal with a merciful God. If you went out in the street and asked, what do you think God was like? You'd get 100 different answers, wouldn't you? Most think he's far off and distant and he doesn't really care about me. Or maybe he's very holy and hard and full of judgment. But I can tell you right now that God is a merciful God. We hear in the glad tidings about mercy and grace, don't we? And mercy is, as someone has said, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. Both come from God, dear friend. But God is a God of mercy. And that means although he's so holy, and yes, he is a God of judgments and will judge sins. In fact, I can tell you, he has judged sins at the cross. That's where God judged sin, was at the cross. But he's a God of mercy. And what we need to do is to cry out to him. Mm. And he will forgive sin. Not just brush it under the carpet, my dear friend. God is righteous and holy. That means he has to do things in a right way. We live in a world where even the best people do things maybe in the wrong way or underhand. But God does everything in the right way. And therefore, if he wants, he has to deal with your sin and my sin. It has to be in the right way. And that's where Jesus comes in. Because a sacrifice has to be paid. God requires a sacrifice for sin. That was made clear right at the beginning of the Bible. Adam, when he sinned, and Eve, they tried to fix themselves up before God, didn't they? They got fig leaves. Because they realised that they were not fit for God's presence. I wonder if you have worried about that. Maybe, do you worry about being fit for God's presence? Maybe you've tried to patch yourself up with a bit of good works, going to church, reading a Bible, looking religious. But that won't do for God, dear friend. God requires a sacrifice. And therefore, he provided coats of skin, didn't he? That was the result of an animal being slain. It all looks forward to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament looks forward to Jesus. Everything. And therefore those coats of skin that Jehovah provided Adam and Eve as a picture of the sacrifice. All looking forward in time to Jesus. That God is a God of mercy. And when God sees the sacrifice of his beloved son and the precious blood flowing from his side, God comes out in mercy. If you read Romans 5, you'll see that it's because of the blood on the mercy seat that God can come out in mercy. So this blind beggar, he says, have mercy upon me. And that cry is answered. And dear friend tonight, if you cry to God, have mercy upon me, he will answer that cry. He will. Guaranteed. Of course, the others try to put him off. Many rebuked him that he might be silent. You know, the devil is so active. He'll do anything to stop you coming to Jesus. He'll do anything to distract you. But don't be put off, dear friend. Don't be put off, because the blessing far outweighs anything else. He said, but he cried so much the more. I like that. The urgency. He realized that he had a great need. He realized that there was only one there that could solve the problem. And therefore he wouldn't be shut up, would he? Tonight, dear friend, it would be great if someone in this hall was so urgent that they wanted to be saved, that they wanted to have to do with Jesus, that nothing would put them off. Dear friend, tonight, Jesus is for you. Paul says in Romans, you know, if God be for you, who can be against you? Dear friend, don't let anyone put you off coming to Jesus. So, what does it say? Jesus standing still. I think that's absolutely wonderful, you know. You may say that's just a sentence. But just think who was there. Who was Jesus? Who is Jesus? Is God manifest in the flesh? He's the creator. We're told in the scripture that by him the worlds were made. There's the creator of the universe. You and me and Bartimaeus, the creator of all things. And he's standing still. Just for one man. Just for one man. He's that interested in you and me. The creator of the universe standing still. Just for one man. And he would do it for you and me. That's how intensely interested, my dear friend, he is in you. What mercy, what love. And then, you know, he's directed to come to Jesus. That's what we want to do in the gospel. Point you to the Saviour. That's all we're trying to do. Not point you to Sandon Road Hall, and not point you to the brethren, not certainly point you to the preacher, point you to Jesus. Come to him. Come unto me, he said. What is the very, almost the last words of Jesus in the Bible? Come. Come to him. Just come to him. They say to him, be of good courage, he calls thee. But tonight, dear friend, in the glad tidings, Jesus is calling. We've got a hymn, haven't we? Jesus is calling, will you not come? Have you ever made that step tonight before, dear friend? Have you ever made that step towards Jesus? One small step is enough, you know. You know, when man landed on the moon, they said one small step for man. But you know, have you ever made a greater step? Far greater than stepping on the moon is that stepping towards Jesus, the Saviour, the Creator of the world, God himself manifest in flesh. And it says, throwing away his garment. To me, that speaks of the fact he had no pride. He wasn't going to let anything get in the way. He didn't care about himself. He just wanted to get the blessing. Dear friend, is that your attitude tonight? All you're interested in is getting the blessing of Jesus. You don't care about what you look like. You know, our natural selves, as we are naturally, we're full of pride, aren't we? We care about ourselves. Appearance, maybe as you get a bit older, you get slightly less worried about it, but we care about ourselves. But this man is beyond that. He's past caring, really. All he wanted to do was have a touch by Jesus. That's all he was interested in. Tonight, dear friends, is the Lord Jesus is just a step away. Just a step away. The sad thing is that many remain that all their lives. You think of the two on the cross besides Jesus. One was blessed, the other, as far as we know, wasn't. They were both the same distance, but one was lost and one was saved. Tonight, dear friend, how close are you? Almost persuaded. There's a king, wasn't there, in the scripture? He was almost persuaded. How close are you? Just takes one step, dear friend, to come to Jesus. And Jesus, answering, says to him, "What will I should do to thee?" Now you might say, well, pretty obvious, really. Jesus knew what he needed. In fact, everybody else knew what he needed as well. But you know, I think the Lord just wanted to hear him say it himself. There's a hymn, another hymn. It says, "All the fitness that he requireth is to feel your need of him." Is that the point? The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to say, "I need you. I need you. I need you tonight, dear friend." Maybe he'd ask you, "What do you need tonight? I want to see. I want to be taken out of this life of misery and hopelessness." Whatever it is, the greatest need that you'll ever have is to have your sins forgiven, to have peace with God, to have hope of eternal life. That's your greatest need. And all that's required is that you tell Jesus, and he will answer that prayer, that cry tonight. Millions have done so. How many millions more? I don't know. Because Jesus is coming again. It won't be very long now. If you look around, the world can't go on like it is forever. But right now, there's time for you to come to him. There's a song, not in this book, but it says, there's room at the cross for you. Millions have come, it says. Millions. But there's room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Dear friend, there's room tonight for you to come to him. Yes, this man received his sight. And I'm sure he was a changed man. He was a changed man, wasn't he? And you know, everyone that meets Jesus is a changed person. Changed person. He could see now. And I'm sure because of that, he could probably get a job, stop begging, be useful. But what does Jesus say to him? Does he say, "Well, you worked it all out"? No. He says, "Your faith has saved you." Your faith. So, I'm preaching the gospel about Jesus. He's not in the room physically. I can't actually point you to him. It requires faith. I believe in something I can't see. But you know, Jesus is more real than anything else. You're blessed by faith. We know Jesus suffered and died on the cross, shed his blood, went to the grave. 3 days later, risen again, ascended up to heaven. Where is Jesus now? Up there, in heaven. A real man, not an angel, not a spirit, a real man. Jesus, up there. Do you believe that? I do. Scripture tells me, but more than that, he sent his Holy Spirit. And do you know what the Holy Spirit is, amongst many other things? He's our link between you and the man up there, Jesus. He's our link. Makes it real to us. Little girl had a badge saying Jesus is alive today. Someone asked her, how do you know that? She said, I spoke to him this morning. Real, isn't it? Real. Jesus is alive today. And I believe that by faith. Jesus says, thy faith has saved thee. What does it say? Go, thy faith has healed thee. My friends, you know, when Jesus touches someone's life, it's a complete salvation. You know, when man does a job, very often the job is half done, isn't it? Or it's imperfect. When Jesus touches a life, dear friends, it's perfect. It heals completely. It says in another passage that he made them thoroughly well. I don't mean that, as some people preach, that if you meet Jesus, that all your problems will be solved and you'll be healed of all your diseases. No, it doesn't mean that. And we're given grace to go through with it. But he makes you spiritually whole. Healed. Men are sick with sin. Sin is a disease. And it's an illness. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, you might be healed. And your faith, he says, your faith has healed thee. And I just want to end with one final thought. It says he saw immediately. I love that, you know. Of course, it's one of Mark's favourite words. If you read the Gospel of Mark, and if you haven't read, I'd encourage you to do so, because it's a very short, it's the shortest Gospel. And the language in it is quite simple. And he said, and one of the keen words in Mark's Gospel is immediately. You go through and count how many times it says immediately. And dear friends, tonight, that's also true in the Gospel. If you have to do with Jesus, you'll be saved. There's no purgatory, no prolonged period, you're saved. You put your faith in Christ as the Saviour, the one who died for you, you're saved. And that would be for time and for eternity. That can't be undone, dear friends, because it's not my work, it's his. His work. And it's perfect. And he saw immediately. What a saviour. One final thought, dear friend. It says he followed him in the way. You know, if you're saved, if you put your trust in Jesus, then the idea is you don't just drift off and do your own thing. Rather, you follow him in the way. It's worth following. He died for you. He shed his precious blood. He gave everything. Literally everything for you. Doesn't that move your heart, dear friends? Doesn't that motivate you? He followed him in the way. Disciple. Do you know what a disciple is? Someone who follows. The hymn says, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. What did Mrs. Lot do in the Old Testament? She turned back, didn't she? If you put your trust in Jesus and realise that he gave himself for you, he spent everything he had for you, it's worth following, dear friend. Worth following. And that way leads to glory. We're not there yet. We're on the road, aren't we? You know, if you read Pilgrim's Progress, it's a good book. Sometimes it's a bit difficult. The language is a bit old. It's worth reading Pilgrim's Progress. And he's on a journey to the celestial city. And it's going to get there. And we're all going to get there, aren't we? But while we're getting there, we're following Jesus in the way. May you tonight, if you've never put your trust and faith in him, may you have to do with him. And once you have, and if you already do, then follow him in the way. For his name's sake.
Amen.